Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the Holy Gospel for the first Sunday in Advent in Luke 19. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. This is God's word. Please be seated. In Jesus' name. How many of you were totally shocked, totally stunned to wake up and look out your window and see that? Not a one of you, right? Because we expect that. We live here in the UP. We expect, heck, by November 1st, middle of October, this can happen, right? It's not shocking. It's not surprising, but kind of goes with the season, doesn't it? Now is the time of year when we have markers in our lives that signify the time in which we are. Advent. Christmas nearly upon us. And I remember Mark remarking on this last year. It was neat to come back here and kind of step back into all the things that I associated with Christmas as a child. The Christmas lights go up throughout town. People are putting up their trees. The church on schedule is decorated for the Advent and Christmas season. As you would expect, the Advent wreath is out. And all of us have things that we do like this time of year, right? We're making our plans for Christmas. We're going to be in church on Christmas Eve. We're going to be in church on Christmas Eve, right? Okay, good. We're going to sing Silent Night by candlelight. I'm not even going to joke about that this year. We will, of course, sing Silent Night by candlelight on Christmas Eve. These are the things that we expect. Now imagine to walk into the church in the middle of July and see the Christmas tree or the Advent wreath. That would seem out of place now, wouldn't it? Imagine driving down the road on a snowy day like today and you see some youper standing out on his patio and he's got his Stormy Cromer on and his Carhartt jacket, but waist down, he's in swim trunks and flip-flops, and he's grilling out, flipping burgers, and holding a beer in his hand. Even in the UP, that would seem out of place. Our first reading today is kind of like that, isn't it? Think about it. You have Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a colt. It's Palm Sunday. That's not an Advent reading. That's a Holy Week reading, right? What are we listening to Jesus in Jerusalem for, going to his cross when we haven't even got to his manger yet? And yet, that's where Advent starts for us. It starts with Jesus riding into Jerusalem. It's almost as though the disciples are singing the wrong song for us. It's like the disciples have their minds in Advent, in Christmas. Listen to what they're singing. When Luke records this, he doesn't record the hosannas to the Son of David. We get that in the other Gospels, and they surely did sing it. But look what Luke records for us that the disciples sang. They sang, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." That sounds a whole lot like what the angels sang on Christmas Eve to the shepherds in the fields. It's like the disciples themselves, even though they're singing a Christmas song, we're supposed to be in that frame of mind. Well, of course, this reading isn't accidental or it's not just there at random. It's there for a point. It's there to remind you and me something important about Advent, about Christmas. The word Advent means coming. God comes to us. But why? Why does he come to us? Why does God take on human flesh and come to his people? It's for this reason right here in Luke 19. On Palm Sunday, he comes to ride into Jerusalem and die for the sins of the world. He comes to ride into the city of the temple, the city of sacrifice. He goes there to be our sacrifice. Advent is the season of the one who comes to his people to die. Advent is the season of peace, the peace made possible by the one who endures the violence, the attacks of sin, death, and Satan upon his own body. So many of us long for peace. It's often a theme you hear connected with Christmas, a longing for peace. And we're not just looking for a nostalgic peace that comes from keeping our usual holiday traditions, singing the right songs, and being with the right people. We sense that lack of peace around us. We sense the lack of peace within ourselves. More and more hatred and animosity between people in general. More and more animosity and hatred from the world towards the church. More and more hatred and animosity even amongst ourselves. We talked last week in that reading from Jude about building one another up instead of tearing one another down. And yet we need that constant reminder. There's even more and more hatred and animosity amongst those we're closest to, and even within ourselves. More and more people who hate their own existence. This world is a collection of broken people everywhere we turn, and it does absolutely no good to point your finger at someone else for that brokenness, because we all play our own sinful part in a world that lacks peace, a world filled with hostility and rage and discord. In our epistle for today, Paul shares his prayer for the church in Thessalonica. He says, "May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you." That's essentially what Jesus summed up for us when he said that the law tells us, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Love one another. Live at peace with one another. Right after Jesus told that to his disciples, he told them the parable of the Good Samaritan, the one who bound up that injured man on the side of the road, a man who was not like him, of a different nation, of a different class of people. Yet he bound him up, cared for his injuries, bought him a room at the inn where he could recover. And that's how God intends for us to live with one another. That's what peace looks like when you live at peace with one another, caring for one another in the middle of their needs, lifting people up when they're broken, binding up their wounds. And that's what we've failed to uphold, each and every one of us. That's why if there's to be any peace during Advent, we must remember it's also a season of repentance, turning away from sin. Repent, everyone, for your failure to love as God has commanded. Repent for your failure to live in peace with one another. It's almost like Christmas invites us to betray our senses, doesn't it? To think about peace, right? And you hear that, like I said, you hear that theme always during this season. Time of peace and joy, right? Yet that betrays our senses, because what we see, what we experience, what we know isn't peace. And it seems that the only way there could be any peace is if God himself were to somehow break into this world and make it happen himself, because by God, we can't do it ourselves. Well, there you go. That's Advent. There can only be peace if God takes on our humanity and bears all of our hatred, our division, our violence on himself. That, my dear friends in Jesus, is what Advent is. Advent means peace because Advent means God intervenes in the world, in our lives of brokenness and hatred and violence, and he conquers it all. How? With his suffering and his death. Advent means God comes to us. And when we talk about God coming to us, there are three ways in which that happens. I don't normally do three-point sermons. This really isn't the three main points. We can maybe try and remember this. What are the three ways that Jesus, God in human flesh, comes to us? Well, there's his first advent. When he comes in Bethlehem, in a manger, born of Mary, to go from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, to his cross, to die for the sins of the world and establish peace for you and me. That's his first advent. Then there's his final advent. When he comes again in glory on the last day, Satan is gone forever. Sin, death, destruction are all put away forever. And what Jesus accomplished on the cross is made perfect in our lives for all eternity. That's his second advent. But the third one, the third advent of our Lord Jesus Christ, is when he comes to you in his word and in his sacraments. When he comes to you today, he comes to you with forgiveness, life, salvation, and peace. During this Advent season, as we approach Christmas, there is no better way for you to find peace than in Jesus Christ and what he's done for you on the cross. Might not seem like Christmas to you if you don't get together with your family. It might not seem like Christmas if we don't sing Silent Night by candlelight. Again, we will sing it. It might not seem like Christmas to you if you don't get to watch a Charlie Brown Christmas or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. But in truth, it's really not Christmas if Jesus isn't giving forth his gifts from his cross for sinners. It's not Christmas if the body and blood of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, aren't given to his sheep. Do you want to know the best way to celebrate the reason for the season? And we all talk about remembering why we celebrate Christmas and what is the reason for the season. You know what? I don't know if we actually do get it. Because the best way to celebrate the reason for the season is to receive the King Jesus, who comes to you in his word, who comes to you from his altar in his body and blood. That is the best way to remember the reason for the season. Receive Jesus, who comes to you in his body and blood, every single Sunday, every Wednesday at our midweek services, at our Christmas midnight service, at our Christmas day service, all the other times it's offered to you. Because when you don't receive that gift, it's akin to leaving a present under the tree and not opening it. Who in the world would do that? Talking about things that seem out of place. Who would have a gift with their name written on it from their Lord and leave it unwrapped? When you open it, when you receive what your King, Jesus Christ, wants to give you, you find peace. Peace on earth. Peace in heaven. That's what the angels sang about on Christmas Eve and what the disciples sang about in our gospel. Now, did you notice the difference? There is one subtle but important difference between what the angels sang on Christmas Eve and what the disciples sang on Palm Sunday. Listen to it again. On Christmas Eve, the angels sang to the shepherds in the field, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased." But on Palm Sunday, the disciples sang, "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." The angels sang of peace on earth. The disciples sang of peace in heaven. Peace came down to earth in Bethlehem's manger, and peace goes back into heaven on Jerusalem's cross. In Jesus, the King who comes in the name of the Lord, earth and heaven are connected. Because when you are in Jesus Christ, he takes you where he goes. He takes you from this earth and transports you before the throne of his Father. It's why Paul writes in Philippians 3 that our citizenship is in heaven, not will be in heaven or someday is going to be in heaven. It is right now. How can you find peace in this world? In the one who takes you so that you ascend with him in heart, soul, and mind to the throne room of the King. To the one who promises that he will come again at his final advent to take you to be there with him forever. Dear friends in Jesus, whatever it is that is keeping you from peace this morning, whether it's that your plans for Christmas aren't lining up or something significantly more serious, find the peace that Jesus has bought for you by going from Bethlehem to Jerusalem to connect heaven and earth. You know, Advent and Christmas really aren't that much to celebrate if Jesus doesn't go to that city of sacrifice and give himself into death. If he doesn't become the ultimate sacrifice himself. Think of what Advent is. Think of what Christmas is. If Jesus doesn't die for the sins of the world. Advent's kind of like, well, we're waiting for his birth. It's kind of like a month-long baby shower, isn't it? Christmas is nothing but a birthday party. I remember when I was a kid, we had this tradition of always getting a cake for... And we think we did it here at church too, where we'd sing happy birthday to Jesus. Now, it's nice, cute, but that's not really what Christmas is. That's all it would be if Jesus doesn't die. But he has died and risen and gone back to his Father, and he will come again for you. From Bethlehem to Jerusalem, to heaven and back again, our Lord Jesus brings peace on earth and peace in heaven for you. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.